This is Day to Day. I'm Adeline Brand. In a moment, an update from St. Bernard's Parish, where residents are struggling to put their lives back together after Hurricane Katrina. But first, health officials from the U.S. and the United Nations began touring Southeast Asia today. They're trying to raise awareness about the dangers that avian flu could pose to humans. The U.N. is considering boosting worldwide production of a flu vaccine in case of a pandemic. Dr. Trainor, you've been testing a vaccine for the bird flu. Where does that stand now?
Well, we have finished the immunizations of healthy adults, and we're now proceeding to test the vaccine in older adults who are healthy but over the age of 65, as well as in children.
And how does this vaccine differ from the regular flu vaccine that many people get at this time of year?
Well, it's really more similar than it is different, except, of course, that instead of containing the usual B, H1, and H3 that are in the typical flu shot, this shot contains H5, which is the kind of virus that causes bird flu.
I'm wondering if one gets the regular flu vaccine, if that provides any sort of immunity for the bird flu vaccine.
It doesn't look like it. There really is no close relationship between the kinds of flu that we get every year and that are in the regular flu shot and this bird flu virus, and that's what makes it so dangerous. The bird flu virus, in terms of its antigens, the outer surface, is a very different animal than the regular flu viruses we're used to.
And if officials do decide to go ahead with the vaccine that's being tested right now for the bird flu, how long would it take before that vaccine is available?
Well, it would be available in stages. It would be made in the flu vaccine factories that exist, and you could imagine that it would take about 6 to 8 months at a minimum to have the first sort of big batches ready for general use, and then those factories would continue to make more over time to have a gradually increasing supply.
6 to 8 months. Why so long?
Well, remember that you start with the virus that you would like to make a vaccine against, in this case, a bird flu virus. And then you need to grow that virus in some substrate that lets you make tons of it in order to generate a vaccine. And what we use nowadays are embryonated hen's eggs. But not to get overly fixated on that, there are other ways that you could grow lots of flu virus in different kinds of cell culture that are also being explored as potential ways to make the vaccine. But that whole step is just the step of making the raw material from which the vaccine is then made. So after you've inoculated your millions of eggs and harvested the fluid from the eggs a few days later, and now you have a liquid that has just lots of flu viruses in it, you now have to inactivate the viruses chemically, split the virus apart into its components, and purify the parts that you want to include in the vaccine, which are two very important proteins called the hemagglutinin and neuraminidase. And after you've purified those proteins, you need to concentrate them into the concentration that you want to use, add the various other ingredients that are part of the flu vaccine, put it in the vials that you want to put it in, label everything, and then start distributing that vaccine.
Why is this method seen as outdated?
Well, the only thing that's outdated about it is that it's what's been used for the last 50 years with a series of adjustments and improvements over the years, although basically it's still the way we did it 50 years ago. Although the reason we've used that process for such a long time is because it works extremely well. Now, there are some problems with using eggs for flu vaccines, the most important one of which is it's an agricultural product that you might not have available when you need it. The roosters have to do their thing in order to have enough embryonated hen's eggs to start making vaccines. There would be some technical advances in terms of using cell culture instead. It would be easier to ramp that up and produce that on shorter notice, probably, than it would be to corral the giant numbers of eggs that you would need to make vaccine. And that's probably the biggest advantage of cell culture over eggs.
Yeah, I'm wondering, with all the advances in biotechnology, why we can't do it all in petri dishes.
Well, in part, it's because flu viruses, again, you need to start out with something where you can make many, many copies of those flu viruses in a very efficient system. And it just so happens that influenza viruses like to grow in embryonated eggs, and it's been difficult to come up with a cell culture substrate that supports the growth of those flu viruses as efficiently as they can grow in eggs. So from an economic and feasibility point of view, it's been very hard to beat embryonated hen's eggs as a substrate for making that raw material.
Dr. John Traynor is a professor of medicine at the University of Rochester School of Medicine. Thank you for joining us.
You bet.